amen? Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Margaret sends her greetings. She was dusting the front porch and the pollen all came up and got all in her nose. And she said, I don't want to have to carry my head with me as I come to church this morning. But she's healed and doing fine, and she sends her greetings. Amen. I know I left my garage to get in my black truck the other day, and I had washed it like on Friday, and it was yellow the next morning, you know, Saturday morning. But I walked out with my coffee cup, my metal coffee cup, because my boat's in there, and I keep my truck outside, but my boat's in there, my car's in there, my motorcycle's in there. It's for sale, by the way. If somebody wants to give me $25,000 after the service, I'll let you have it. I'm asking 27, so that'd be a really good deal for you. But I walked out, so I only walked like two steps to the car, and I started drinking, and it had pollen on the rim of it. Amazing. Anyway, thank God for pollen, I guess. Or what it does, not for what it does. And John and Sheila, they're probably watching online. Hi, guys. Margaret's watching online. They're celebrating their 32nd wedding anniversary. Is that correct? Huh? 31st wedding. They're celebrating their 31st wedding anniversary. Praise God. So they're actually they're up there where Miss Daisy's a park ranger at Roan Mountain State Park celebrating their anniversary this weekend. But we're glad you're here. I'm here. Caleb's here.
Amen.
Wasn't that a wonderful message you preached last Sunday?
Yes,
glory to God. I know. Praise God. Young, good looking, anointed, has on nice boots. If I wasn't so holy and sanctified, I'd be jealous, you know. But we appreciate him and Christina and all they do. And for all the guys that, you know, these guys, they come week after week after week after week after. They come early to every service to get ready for praise and worship. And all of our ushers and all of our people working in children's church this morning. And people, you know, 1, 2, 3 back there working in the sound booth. And greeters, we appreciate you all very, very much. Can you say amen? Praise God. Well, are you ready for the Word of God this morning?
Yes.
Praise God. Let's open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 2.
Yes.
Now, let me tell you a couple of things, and then you do what you want to with it. But I'm going to read several scriptures from the book of Galatians. And so whether you're following on your phone or your iPad or your Bible, you know, I encourage you just to stay in Galatians. And then I'm going to refer to several other scriptures. They'll put them up on the screen for you. But if you'll stay in Galatians, we'll go back and forth and look at some scriptures there. And then here's something just to know and be aware of. I cut my sermon in half this morning. I mean, I got 4 points and I left 2 of those points. I didn't even bring them to church with me. They're at home, so I'm not tempted to preach those other two points. So I can't even, they're at home because I thought this is going to be too long. Amen? So maybe that's something to shout about, or maybe you can get excited about it because we're going to do those other 2 points on Wednesday night. Amen. Praise God. So Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20 says, "For I have been crucified with Christ." Say, "I'm crucified with Christ." "It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Most people recognize this as a very beautiful and a very powerful scripture. I mean, there's just something about this scripture that just thrills your spirit. But I think a lot of people don't really know at all what it means. And I know over the years I get more and more, I still don't know what everything that it means, but it still thrills my spirit. But I am learning more and more about what this one scripture means as the years go by. But you know, our old sinful self, you know, we were before you were a Christian, you were a sinner by nature. In other words, you weren't a sinner because you smoked cigarettes and drank beer and cussed. You were a sinner because you had a sin nature. You were a child of the devil. You were not born again. You had a sin nature. You were alienated from the life of God. And so our old sinful selves, our old sin nature, was crucified with Christ on the cross. When he died on the cross, our old nature died on the cross. And now, praise God, Christ lives in us. Glory to God. See, but not only are we in him, you know, the in him message is a very powerful message. You know, there's all kinds of in Christ, through Christ, with Christ, by Christ. They tell us everything that belongs to us, everything that we can do, and everything that's ours because Jesus died on the cross and because we died with him. But not only are we in him, but he is in us. I said, not only are we in him, but he is in us. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, amen, glory to God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation, old things. He's talking about your old spiritual nature that died on the cross with Jesus. Old things have passed away and all things have become brand new. Praise God. Glory to God. And then 1 Corinthians 1:30. Now, this is from the New Living Translation. Glory to God. I mean, you could shout about these things forever, and we will. You know, the songs we sang this morning, boy, those were wonderful songs for Palm Sunday, weren't they? I mean, that was the message of the cross just right there. But the New Living Translation, 1 Corinthians 1:30, God has united you with Christ. That's another way of saying you're in Christ. God has united you with Christ. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. Aren't you glad you're right with God? I mean, that's the most thrilling thing you could ever learn. You're right with the creator of the universe. You're not separated from God because of your sin anymore. You're right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from all sin. Somebody shout amen. Say, I'm freed from all sin. Now, I'm going to make a statement to you that I think is very powerful, and I'm going to show you how to make it real in your life throughout the rest of this message, which will continue on after this morning. But here's the statement, kind of a run-on sentence maybe, but understanding and believing and walking in the light of. Understanding and believing and walking in the light of what it means to be crucified with Christ and to live a crucified life. Understanding, believing, and walking in the light of what it means to be crucified with Christ and to living a crucified life is the key to walking in the Spirit, walking in grace, to walk free from guilt and condemnation, and to allowing the Christ life to fully reign in your life. And if all that's taking place in your life, then you've got a whole lot of good things going on. So my title is The Fourfold Crucifixion of the Believer. And I'm going to give you 4 points, and in these 4 points we'll see different aspects of what it is to be crucified with Christ and or what it means to live a crucified life. And number one is this: to be crucified with Christ means that we have died to our old sinful nature, has died. We have died to our old sinful nature and to sin and to the law. We died, in other words, we're not the person we used to be. You may look the same and you may smell the same, but you're on the inside, you were changed supernaturally by the Spirit of God. That's what it means to be born again. You got a new nature. We died to our old nature, but not only did we die to our old nature, we died to the law and we died to sin. We are no longer under the law. That means the law cannot condemn us anymore because we're not under the law. You know, let's think about what it means to be dead to something. If somebody says, I'm dead to you, that means they have nothing to do with you anymore. To be dead to something means to be completely separated from it. You know, death is separation. When you die, your spirit is separated from your body. If you're spiritually dead, you're separated from God. See, death is separation. And so to be dead to something means to be completely separated from it. We're completely separated from the person we used to be before we got saved. We're completely separated from the law. We're completely separated from sin. To be dead to something means you are no longer under its power. It does not control you anymore. It does not influence you anymore. And you are not under its penalty anymore. Glory to God. So number one, we are crucified with Christ. We are dead to our old sinful nature, dead to sin, and dead to the law. Romans 6:6 says that our old man, now the old man there means your old sin nature. Not your flesh, but your old sin nature. The person you were before you became a born-again Christian. We are dead. We are dead. Romans 6:6 says our old man was crucified with Jesus. Again, our old sinful nature is legally crucified. It's dead. It's buried, and it's in the grave. Hallelujah. And Romans 6:6, the first part of it says you have to know this. You have to know it. You have to have a revelation of this. If you don't have a revelation of it, it won't mean a thing in the world to you. But it says knowing this, you must know this to be so. So our old sinful nature was crucified with Christ. Amen. Then the rest of verse 6 says that the body of sin might be done away with and that we should be no longer slaves to sin. The body of sin there means, really it just means simply the power of sin. So it's saying here, that means the power of sin, because our old man is crucified, the power of sin as our master is broken over our lives. See, we were by nature sinners. You might do some right things because of moral obligations or because you don't want to be put in jail, but the sinner is a sinner by nature. His heart is wrong. His heart is black. He desires to do the wrong things inwardly. I don't care if it's a sweet little old grandmother. She might appear to be nice, you know, but in her heart, she is the child of the devil and must be born again. Glory to God. And that's true of all of us. So the body of sin has been done away. The power of sin has been done away with. It no longer controls us. The New Living Translation says of Romans 6:6, our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ. Say it again, I'm crucified with Christ. Our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are dead to sin. It no longer controls us. You can yield to it, but you don't have to. Amen. So for that to be true, though, you have to know it and you have to believe it. Because as you read on in Romans 6 there, a very powerful chapter, in verse number 11, it says, reckon yourselves. Reckon is a faith word. That means consider it to be so by faith. So consider yourselves to be dead indeed, in reality. Consider yourselves to be dead to sin. Because it may not look like you're dead to sin. It may not feel like you're dead to sin. It may feel like sin has more power over you. But you have to, by faith, reckon and consider yourselves to be dead to sin. Amen. So Warren Wiersbe in his commentary says this, Paul didn't tell his readers to feel as if they were dead to sin or even to understand it fully, but to act on God's word and claim it for themselves. Reckoning is a matter of faith that issues in action. That's a good faith teaching from a good Baptist boy there, isn't it? Amen. Praise God. See, we are acting, he goes on to say, we are acting on a fact. We are acting on a fact. God doesn't command us to become dead to sin. He tells us that we are dead to sin and alive unto God. And commands us to act on it. Even if we do not act on it, the facts are still true. Now we understand that. This is a faith church. Isn't that what we teach about healing and about any other provision or promise of God? You have to believe that it's so and act like it's so, even though it doesn't feel like it's so, even though it doesn't seem like it's so, praise God. Amen. And when you act like it's so, glory to God, then it becomes so because you believe that it's so. Can you say amen? So we are to know this and consider it to be true by faith. We are crucified with Christ. The old man is dead and sin has no more power over me. Glory to God. So now we have a choice. That's what it means. It means we have a choice. Glory to God. We can say that. Say, I can.
I can.
Say no to any sin. We have a new spirit that desires and wants to do the right thing. And we have the power and the enablement of the Holy Spirit to do the right thing. But not only are we dead to sin when we were crucified with Christ, we died to the law. You're there in Galatians. Galatians 2:19 says, for I through the law died to the law. What does it mean to be dead to something? It means you're separated from it. It has no more power over you, has no more control over you. You're not under its penalty anymore. We died to the law. In Romans chapter 7, verses 4 through 6, I'll summarize. It says we are dead to the law and that we are released from its penalty. The law condemned us. The law condemned us as sinners and told us that we had to die a sinner's death and be eternally separated from God and spend all eternity in hell. But we are released from the law and its penalty, because we are dead to the law. So what that means is this, I'm no longer looking to the law to justify me are to make me right with God. The law cannot make me right with God. It can only condemn me and tell me that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. So Galatians 2:16 says, you're right there, says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. Nobody shall be made right with God. And then in Galatians 3:10 and 11 it says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. If you're trying to be justified by keeping the law, you're under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law. Amen. In other words, if you break one point, if you're guilty of breaking one point of the law, then you're guilty of breaking all the law. I mean, how many holes in your boat does it take to sink you? It doesn't have to be 100, just one will sink you. And when you commit one sin against God, then you're under a curse and you're not justified. But, verse number 11 says, no one is justified or declared righteous by the law of in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Glory to God. For the just shall live by faith. So we are not justified by the law. Say it again, I'm dead to the law. To be dead to the law means we are completely separated from it and not under its power and not under its control and not under its penalty. I don't look to it to be justified. I don't look to it to be holy. I'm dead to it. And I'm free from its guilt and condemnation. Oh, hallelujah. That's all the law could do was tell me you're guilty, you're unworthy, you're a sinner, you're no good. I have a new life, though. I've been born again. I'm under grace. I'm not under law. I'm right with God by faith. And I'm living a new life empowered by the Spirit. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of the living God. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. And see, when you know that and you believe that, that you are a crucified Christ, then you won't let it condemn you anymore. Then you won't allow it to condemn. So many Christians all over the world are condemned. See, and you will quit striving. You know what it means to strive, to work and sweat and toil and try to do it? You'll quit striving in the flesh to earn and deserve righteousness by keeping the law. Instead, you'll rest in the power of grace to make you right with Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus. The law could not save us. Again, it could only show us that we were guilty and deserving of punishment and condemnation. But I'm not under the law. I'm dead to the law. So I cease depending on the law. And I cease depending on myself and my fleshly attempts to earn God's love and His favor and His righteousness. I was crucified with Christ. I died. I died to the law as my accuser and as my means of righteousness. The law cannot accuse me anymore. Neither can it make me just. I'm already just in Christ Jesus. And I'm not condemned. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Ooh, that's good news. And that leads me, so we're dead to the law. That leads me right into point number two, which is this. We should crucify or die to the flesh. We're dead to the law. Our old man passed away. We're dead to sin, glory to God, but we should crucify or die to the flesh. How many of you know because when you got born again that you were never tempted again the rest of your life? You know, it's amazing. You could read after people going back to the 1700s that are some of the most famous Christian ministers and theologians and commentators that have ever lived. And if you read them carefully, they'll in essence say, I know, sometimes it's a struggle. You can tell. We all deal with the flesh. We all deal with the flesh. You know, it's like the old, you probably heard this, but the man, same Brother Hagin, said, I want you to pray for me that I'll never be tempted again, that I'll be so sanctified and holy that I'll never be tempted again. And Brother Hagin said, you want me to pray for you that you'll die? He goes, no, I don't want to die. He said, well, you know, in the flesh. He said, but that's the only way you're never going to be tempted. As long as we are in this body, in this world, and have the devil to contend with, I think people would be surprised about how many problems they had if the devil died, you know, because you still have you to deal with and your flesh to deal with and temptations. And the world will try to lure you and captivate you and fascinate you with all this godless ideas and stupidity. And we should crucify. Number two, we should crucify or die to the flesh. Listen, see, that's our responsibility. Our old sinful nature has passed away, and we are alive to God. We're born again. We have a new nature full of holy desires and godly desires, and sin has no more power over us, but we still deal with temptations. We still deal with wrong desires. We still deal with what we commonly call the flesh. But here's the good news. Romans 8:12 says we are not debtors to the flesh. You don't owe it anything. The Amplified Bible says you are not obligated to live according to its dictates and desires. You are not obligated to live according to its dictates and desires. See, the devil will tell you you are not free from sin, but that's a lie. Sin has no more power over you. And when you have wrong desires, you are not obligated to obey those desires. So since sin has no more power over us, because our old nature died and we're alive to God, we don't have to give in to the wrong lust or desires of the flesh. You've got to know that, and you've got to believe that in order for it to be true in your life. Again, it doesn't mean there's not a struggle sometimes, as these great men and women of God will attest to over the centuries. Glory to God. Now, the number one key, everybody say number one. Number one key, but it's not the only key. The problem I have with this number one key is I don't have a problem with it. I have a problem with saying that this is the only thing you have to do. But the number one key to overcoming fleshly lust or fleshly wrong desires is to believe that your old sinful nature that controlled your life is dead and gone and has no more power over you. That is the number one key. You must believe that just like you believe by His stripes I'm healed. Just like you believe my God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory. Just like you believe He's given His angel. You have to believe that in order for it to be true in your life. So instead of trusting in, I know I'm throwing a lot at you this morning, but this thrills me. So trusting in and relying on our own self-effort to live holy, instead of doing that, you reckon by faith, you consider by faith that sin has no more power over you. It's like I got this example many, many years ago from Warren Wiersbe, who I quoted a while ago. He said two Irishmen, but it could be two guys were, you know, two bubbas were arguing about this turtle they saw because his head was cut off, but the turtle was still running all around. And so Billy Bob said, we need you to settle an argument for us. He said, his head's cut off. I contend that he's dead. He said, but Lester here says that he's alive. Is he dead or is he alive? And the man said, he's dead, he just don't know it yet. And that's the way a lot of Christians are. They're dead to sin, they just don't know it yet. They just don't believe it yet. And believing that is the number one thing. But then, after you believe that, bottom line, because you have the power and the ability to do it, and because sin cannot make you do anything, you do have the responsibility to say no to your flesh. Are you listening? Because you can. That's why Romans 6, we were reading all these powerful scriptures in Romans 6. Romans 6:12 says, don't let sin reign in your life and yield yourself to God. And Romans 6:14 says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What does that mean, you're not under the law, but under grace? Well, the law condemns us and tells us we are wrong, but gives us no power to obey and keep the law. It shows us that we cannot keep its commandments. So, you know, we're not under the law. The law just said what you're doing is wrong, but it didn't give you the ability to overcome it. It justly accused us. The law wasn't wrong. It rightfully accused us, but didn't give us the power to overcome. But under grace, we're set free from the power of sin. And under grace, we're empowered by the Spirit to overcome the lust of the flesh. In other words, we're empowered to live a truly a holy and spiritual life. And so Paul basically tells the Galatians the same things as he told the Romans in Romans chapter 6. You can see this in Galatians 5:16. Look at that, Galatians 5:16. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust or the wrong desires of the flesh. Verse 24 says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. Now let me make a point here. He said this is something you have done in the past tense. So he's using the word flesh here, not like I'm using the flesh just to mean wrong desires or temptations that you face. By the flesh here, he means your old sinful nature. It's kind of like spirit and soul in the body. Spirit doesn't always mean soul, and soul doesn't always, you know, sometimes those words are used to mean different things. And so Paul here, because we talk about the flesh, we talk about the body, we talk about the old man, and those terms can get confusion. But here he's talking about something you did in the past. This is what happened to you when you were crucified with Christ on the cross. And so he's saying those who are Christ have crucified the old man. The old man has died. He's already died with its passions and lust. But then he says in verse number 25, if we live in the Spirit, since we are alive unto God, since we are dead to sin, since the old man is dead, we should let us also walk in the Spirit. Since you are alive, since the old man, the old nature is crucified, then you should walk after the Spirit or walk in the Spirit. You're alive in the Spirit, but you don't have to walk after the Spirit. Amen. You don't have to live. You live in the Spirit, but you don't have to walk in the Spirit. But you should. And he's saying you have the power to do it. If you'll walk after the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, then you won't obey your fleshly wrong desires. Glory to God. You won't walk after the flesh. So victory over the flesh has been provided for us by Christ, but we have to appropriate that victory by faith and renew our minds to what God tells us to renew our minds to. And we have to learn to yield to the Spirit of God. And we must believe we have the Spirit's help and leadership and enablement to say no to the flesh. Bottom line, we can say no to the flesh, and we must say no to the flesh because we have victory over the flesh. Sin has no more power over us. The Bible tells us so. Amen. Glory to God. So to keep our bodies, our wrong desires under, we must do. That's our responsibility. I will read this to you. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 says, if then you were raised with Christ, were you raised with Christ? Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. See, that's a key. Not on things of the earth. For you died. You died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death. Now he's telling you, because you are alive, because you did die, because sin has no more power over you, now it's your responsibility. You put to death. Other translations say you mortify. That's kind of like crucify, isn't it? Now, therefore, you put to death, you crucify. Glory to God. Mortify is tantamount to saying crucify. You crucify your members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of all these things, the wrath of God is coming on those, the sons of disobedience, those that are not saved. But now, verse 8, you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice. See, that's our responsibility. We have to put off the conduct. We don't put off the old man. The old man is dead, but we put off the conduct of the old man. See, there's still some residual effects floating around out there, you know. Glory to God. And our minds are used to living that pattern, but we have a new pattern. Thank you, Jesus. So listen. It's not that we just decide to do right. You don't just decide to do right. That doesn't cause you to be born again. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then something supernatural takes place and your old nature passes away and you're born again. I forget which famous minister it was, but he said, the Bible says you must be born again, not you must, turn over a new leaf in essence. We don't just turn over a new leaf. We're born again, praise God. Hallelujah. And so it's not that we just decide to do right and then strive with all our might and power to do right. No, 1,000 times no. But because we're born again, because we're dead to sin, because we're set free from sin, because we have a new nature, because we're under grace and not law. and because we are empowered by the Spirit of God. And we have mighty weapons. We have the name of Jesus. We have the armor of God. We're told what to do about our minds. Exactly. Now we have the power to make right choices. So there's two main things. This is after almost 50 years of experience in trying to help people overcome addictions and sinful problems and so forth. Two main things here. Number one is to believe that Jesus sets you free. Glory to God. You have to appropriate that number by faith. But then number two, because you are free, you must say no to the flesh. You have a choice. See, as a sinner, you didn't have a choice, but now you have a choice. There's a new Smokey the Bear commercial out. Have you seen it? Yeah, I saw it last night for the first time, and I thought, wow. Because Smokey comes out, and he's like my granddaughter Daisy, when you see her in her dress uniform, you know, the Smokey the Bear hat and the green on the green, it's real, real, you know. He comes out, and he's kind of serious, and he goes, look, guys, in essence, he goes, I have taught you for decades, but only you can prevent a forest fire. And then as you see the full commercial, I thought, man, I got something here. As you see the full commercial, because I only saw that clip, as you see the full commercial, he says, I've taught you everything I know for decades. I taught you how to safely build a fire. I taught you how to contain and control your fire. I taught you how to put it out. You know, you pour water on it, you stir the coals, and you pour water on it again, and stir them again. Then you put your hand on it and make sure that it's completely dead, that it's out. He said, I've taught you for everything, taught you for decades, everything that I know, but only you can prevent forest fires. Listen, Jesus delivered us from the power of any sin and from the power of any habit and the power of any addiction. That's a fact, Jack. That's a legal, established truth in the mind of Almighty God Himself. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's done everything He can. He gave us a new nature. He put His Holy Spirit in us. He told us to renew our minds and told us how to do it. He tells us to make no provision for the flesh. And there's a lot of things you can do to make provision for the flesh. You can get counseling. You can have accountability for it. You can do a lot of things. That's all good. But bottom line, after you believe you are dead to sin, after that, sooner or later, I don't care how many devils have been cast out of you. I don't care how many counseling sessions you've attended. I don't care how many programs. Some last a month. Some last for 9 months or 2 years. I don't care how many programs on overcoming addictions you've attended. I don't care how many accountability partners you have. And I'm not against any of these things. I'm not against counseling. I'm not against accountability partners. I'm not against casting out the devil, you know. But I don't care how much of that you do. Sooner or later, when you're all alone, you must do what you can do because Jesus sets you free and because He helps you and empowers you by His Spirit. And that is, when you're all alone, you must make the choice to say no to the flesh. And you must believe that you can do it. Or you can go to another program and you can stay there for 6 weeks or you can stay there for a year and come out like people have told me and say, that's the greatest thing I've ever been. Man, that's the most wonderful place I've ever been to. And then 3 months later, they're back struggling again. Believe the word and act on the word. Can you say amen? Now let me close this morning. Let me give you a quote from a man by the name of Arthur T. Pearson. A couple of quotes here. Arthur T. Pearson lived in the 1800s, and he wrote a book. This isn't the book. This is a book about the book. But he wrote a book called In Christ Jesus back in 1898. In Christ Jesus, the Sphere of a Believer's Life. And so he says this, said, in Him, that is in Jesus, in Christ, the sinner at once become a saint. At once becomes a saint in God's sight. Not on the basis of law, but of grace. He said, there are four foes to live in a holy life. He says, not counting the devil. He said, I'm not counting the devil because he is a foe, but that's not what he's dealing with in this particular chapter. He said, but you have authority over the devil. You've been raised. Not only did you die with Christ, but you were raised to new life. And when you were raised to new life, you were raised and seated in heavenly places, far above all power and dominion, far above the devil. You have authority over the devil. But he says, when it comes to crucifixion and the crucified life, he said, there's four foes to a holy life. First of all is the law. Second foe is the world. We didn't talk about that, but we will. The world, you know, the world pulls on us and with all its goofiness. The world, the third foe of a spiritual life and a holy walk is the flesh. And the other one is, and he said this may be the most subtle of them all, is the what he calls the self-life. That's, remember when Jesus said you have to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. So deny yourself, he's not talking about, you know, living like a monk and taking away all your comforts. And I read where one guy said, you know, it makes me more spiritual when I go through the agony of swimming through ice cold water. What a dingbat. No, depriving yourself of money or the comforts of life doesn't make you holy. You know, so but the self-life is giving up anything that stands in the way of you following Jesus. That's what he's talking about. He says, I am crucified with Christ, so I'm dead to the law. I'm crucified to the world. I've crucified the flesh. The self-life is nailed to the cross. I cannot be crucified to the devil because I have authority over him, and I don't need that. He says, this new walk with God in Christ is a walk in an essentially new world of dependence on God, not dependence on self. A dependence on God and his power. We cease all dependence on the law so that we might know the power of grace. We cease all dependence on the flesh so that we might walk in the Spirit and no longer fulfill its lust. We cease from walking with the world so that we may walk with God. And we resign or give up or deny the self-life. You know, our own ambitions and desires, what we want to do in life. We would give up those things so that Christ's life may fully reign in us and through us. Can you say amen? Praise God. Say this out loud with me. Say, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Ooh, stand up and shout about that a little bit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, that may be more broccoli and vegetables than dessert, but we need this. We need this desperately. Somehow or another, I'm just reminded of the old song as I was on my way this morning to church. It simply says, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind, with all of its junk. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. If no one joins me, still I will follow. If no one joins me, still I will follow. Though if no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. You know, that's a big deal If no one joins me, I will follow. Even if my friends decide to go the world's way and the bright lights of the world and with all its antichrist evil philosophies that they say makes you sophisticated and cool and with it. No, and you know, people sometimes say, no, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give that up. I'm not going to give that up. And so they give up Jesus. Husbands and wives, sometimes, you know, Jesus said, look, you got to love me more than you love your wife. You got to love me more than you love your parents. You got to love me more than you love yourself. And sometimes I see people that say, well, my husband or my wife, they just don't want to follow. They just don't want to come to church. And so they don't. And then you see them 15 years later and my God, I so respect those that come to church even though their husband doesn't come or even though their wife doesn't come. They come anyway because they say, I'm going to follow the Lord no matter what he does. I love him and I'm going to be scripturally submissive to him. I love her and I'm going to do everything I can to cherish her like Christ cherishes the church, but I'm going to serve Jesus no matter what they do. So the question is, will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back. Have decided, yes, to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes for a moment, please? Glory to God. Would you just think about the things we've said this morning? First and foremost, are you following Jesus as you should? If you're a sinner, you're not following Jesus as you should. You need to be born again. And you can accept him and make him the Lord of your life and say, I recognize, see, that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And I am willing to repent and to turn from the way I've been living and to follow Jesus. And so, Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart. I make you the Lord of my life. Glory to God. I believe that you rose from the dead. Hallelujah. That you died on the cross and took my punishment, took my sins, and I accept you and take you and receive you as my Lord and Savior. And if you're a Christian and you say, well, I'm following Jesus, but like Peter, you know, when Jesus was arrested, it said Peter followed him from afar. But if you're following him at a distance, you need to run to him, praise God. Amen. Glory to God. And so you can make that decision. I'm going to follow him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, all of my body. Greatest thing I ever did. Glory to God. And then if you feel like, well, I know these truths are true, but the flesh is real. Nobody is not telling you the flesh is not real and the lust of the flesh are not real and that the temptations are not real. You know, those things are real. We are simply saying that don't be discouraged, don't be depressed, don't be down. If you sin, if you made a mistake, ask God to forgive you, forgive yourself, get yourself back up, and just keep walking with God, and don't let the devil condemn you. And believe with all your heart that Jesus set you free. Say, I believe with all my heart, Jesus set me free. And he gave me the power of choice. Glory to God. He won't make that choice for you, bottom line, but you can make the choice. And when you fail 100 times, just tell the devil it's none of his business and just run to God, get forgiveness, and keep walking with God. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's sing it one more time. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Well, glory to God. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. We walk by faith and not by sight. God is on your side. God bless you. You're dismissed this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God.